Cass said this, showed me this morning. And I don't usually do jokes, but so Daffy Duck and Elmer Fudd break into a distillery, and Daffy turns to Elmer and says, "Is this whiskey?" And Elmer says, "Yes, but not as whiskey as wobbing a bank." I needed that this morning. A couple weeks ago, when we were in Sunday school, and we were in Romans, the 14th chapter, and and we were just talking about some stuff, and it got down to about the 13th verse, and a word popped up, and it was and it just like really stuck in my brain, like really. And the word was conviction. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. I did title this, Margaret always asking, and I titled this, "Be True to Yourself." Because I think if you're dealing with conviction, you have to be true to yourself. But I'm going to start by reading this, okay? This is Romans, the 14th chapter. I think this is where I'm at. Yeah. And I'm going to read from the first verse, and it says, "Offer," this is out of the Passion Bible, "offer an open hand of fellowship to welcome every true believer, even though their faith may be weak and immature, and refuse to engage in debates with them concerning nothing more than opinions. For example, one believer has no problem with eating all kinds of food, but another with weaker faith will eat only vegetables. The only one who eats freely shouldn't judge and look down on the one who eats only vegetables. And the vegetables must not judge, and the vegetarian must not judge and look down on the one who eats everything. Remember, God has welcomed him and taken his partner. Who do you think you are to sit in judgment of someone else's household servant? His own master is the one who to evaluate whether he succeeds or fails, and God's servants will succeed, for God's power supports them and enables them to stand. In the same way, one person regards a certain day as more sacred than another, and another person regards them all alike. There is nothing wrong with having different personal convictions about such matters." That's where it stuck to me. That is, if I can get my eyes, I think it's 13. And this is in the Passion Bible. Now, when I looked it up in the King James, the word conviction is not in the King James Bible, which really kind of surprised me. But there are many references in the King James Bible that hint to conviction. One of the first ones that I came to mind was when they gathered around the adulterous woman and they were going to stone her to death, and Jesus said, "He who casts the first stone," you know, and they all started to walk away because their convictions got to them. Did you sin? Are you a sinner? Are you better than this person? And they went from the eldest to the youngest, which meant it didn't matter how old you were or how young you were, you still had your own conviction. And that was the first one that came to mind to me. And like I said, when I realized that the word conviction wasn't even in there, I thought, well, how can they translate it into conviction in this book? And the more I looked into it, the more I realized, like I said, there are many, many verses in the King James and other translations of the Bible where It doesn't say conviction, but it means conviction. Now, what is conviction? So, you know, I'm a dictionary guy. I need to know, because I'm not a theologian by any means of but in the dictionary, conviction means a strong persuasion or belief, or a state of being convinced. You know, how many times have we been convinced? An act of convincing a person of error or of compelling admission of truth. That's really the biggie. You know, where we have to admit the truth about ourselves. You know, when we have to admit the truth about ourselves, that makes our walk with the Lord a little easier. The more we dance around that, makes our walk a little harder. You know, in today's world, you know, where we are today, and so many things going on, we're inundated with so much stuff, so much information. You know, I mean, you turn on the TV and everybody is trying to persuade you to do something, try to persuade you into one idea, you know, their spin on it, or their spin on it, or you need to take this pill, or you need to take that pill, or you've got this disease, or you've got this disease, you know, you got this problem, and you need to do something. You need to do something. It's a total act of persuasion. You know, and that's exactly what it says, a strong persuasion. And what it does is it turns into an act of confusion for me. It jumbles my mind because, you know, I mean, if you turn on the TV, it just drives me crazy. Every other commercial is about from a drug company. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm wondering, do I have this problem? Or don't I have this problem? My hand's trembling. Well, you got XYZ disease this week, you know. And it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, but the truth of the matter is, there's only one truth, and that's Jesus Christ. He's our truth. But we can't believe it if we don't believe in ourselves first. You know, because if you don't believe in yourself, if you can't trust yourself, isn't it hard to trust somebody else? Even if it's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it hard? I think it's really hard. You know, I have to trust the Lord, and I have to put Him first. There's no question, and I try and do that. But there are times in my life where something's going on, and what happens, my natural senses kick in, and even though I can sit there and say, Lord, I know You're in control of this, and I trust You in doing this, but who am I kidding? I'm talking to myself and saying, maybe I can work this out on my own. That's not the way it works. If we're going to believe in the Lord and we're going to trust Jesus Christ, we need to trust Jesus Christ. We have to have the conviction that He is in control no matter what, no matter what we're thinking, no matter what we're trying to do. We need to make that the focal point of our life. Now, again, is that hard to do? You know, going back to what I was saying earlier about TV, you know, I'll be the first person to admit it. I will say that I'm a fence sitter. Now, that sounds stupid, but what it is depending on what day of the week, what side of the fence I'm going to go, where my conviction is on this issue or that issue. And I know I do it. I do it a lot. And I want to get off the fence. So that means I have to spend more time in the Word, more time with the Lord. And again, go back and trust what He has said to us from the very beginning. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Everything I do for you is for your good. I have to have that conviction in my life that I don't have to worry about the other stuff. Now that's, you know, we're living in a crazy world right now. We're living in a really crazy world right now. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to, no matter where you live. I don't care where you are. You can be in an inner city. You can be out here in suburbia. You can be anywhere in this world. You don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on, and it's scary. It's scary for me. But you know, when we talk about this a lot in this church, even for people who aren't believers, and they have their own convictions on what they think is right or wrong, or how they should live, or how, you know. But the truth of the matter is, we talk about it all the time in this church, every person in this earth has a measure of faith. Now, that measure of faith may not be the same measure we have, but they have it. I know that my daughter is not a believer. And I understand that. But I have to believe that God's given her a measure of faith. And it wasn't too long ago that she asked me about it. And she even made the comment to me, I wish I had the faith that you had. And I said to her, you do. You just don't know. You don't know yet. But you will. You know, and she asked me, could we talk about it sometime? So, you know, am I trying to persuade her? No. Because I'm not, if I try to persuade her, the only thing I'm going to get is turmoil. But if I give her the nuggets, maybe one will roll down the hill to the right spot, you know? That's right. That's right. Can you imagine what the churches would be or Christianity would be if everybody's on the same level? Be unstoppable. Be totally unstoppable. Because God would be moving in such a powerful way, not that He isn't already. But it's just like we were talking about, if we go come to see the reality, when in Sunday school we were talking about, if we see reality, what, you know, will we be able to even comprehend it? But that's what God's got us here for, you know. Everybody's got their own convictions. You know, everybody has something in their life that they say, I'm convicted because I did this, and I'm sorry that I ever did it. At least I think so. I know I have. I know there are things in my life that I'm convicted about, and I'm still convicted about them. And I've turned them over to the Lord, and He hasn't quite taken them all away yet, but that's okay. See, it's for me, It's the idea that I have the opportunity. Opportunity is a great, great, great forgiver. You know, it's a great forgiver because you have the opportunity to turn it over to the Lord and accept what He's going to do. What He's going to do in that situation, and you know. I know one of the things that I'm convicted about for me, and it's a health issue for me, and it's something I shouldn't do, but I'm trying like crazy to get divorced from little Debbie. Little Debbie and I have been on a first name basis for about 3 or 4 years, and I want little Debbie to go away. And I keep asking the Lord, take little Debbie away, and He hadn't done it yet. But you know something? He will. He knows where I'm at. That's a conviction for me. You know, I know that. And it's not my place for me to judge. Just like it said in what I read there in Romans 14. What somebody else's belief is. It's not my place for that. It's my judge to love them and to give them the opportunity to meet the real truth. And what is truth? You know, truth is, you know, truth to me is a state of mind. Might not be true to you, but it's true to me. And that's where our differences are. And we shouldn't judge that. If we looked at the same book, if I looked at the same book with everybody in this room individually and read that same passage that I just read, I would get 20 different opinions of what it said. Some of them might be closer than the others. Some of them might be way over here. Some of them might be way over there. But you would get 20 different answers. But that's okay. You know, my conviction is I believe what it said. I need to be able to trust in the Lord and my convictions and my beliefs and give it all to Him. And to do that, I have to trust in myself. You know, use your instincts, say something isn't right. You know, you feel something in your stomach that this just isn't the right thing, or this isn't the right thing to say. And, you know, for me, usually my first impression is always the right impression. But do I always trust my first impression? See, my conviction is, how much am I trusting myself? How much am I being true to myself in that? When I feel it inside and the Lord's telling me from inside, this is just, you know, not the right thing here. This is, how true am I being to myself at this point? And if I'm true to myself, I'm being true to the Lord there. And that's what I want to be. I want to be true to the Lord. Because the Lord, for me, is everything. You know, they say God and country. God, what's first? God, your job, your wife, your blah, blah, blah. God has to be first. But if you're true to all of the things in your life, God's going to be first. He's going to be first in your life. And when He's first in your life, What kind of peace do we have in our life? Do we have things that go on? Absolutely. Do we have to deal with them? Absolutely. Do we like some of them? No. But can we handle them in a different situation, in a different manner than what we did if we didn't have the Lord in our life? Would we do that? I'll guarantee you I would. If I didn't have the Lord in my life, there are things going on I would, no way. No way. And you know, the more you're true to the Lord, the more you're true to yourself. It's kind of like a two-way street. Just picture yourself, you're driving down the road, you and the Lord. And we're going toward where he's leading us. And for some reason, one way or the other, we decide that we're not really on his, he's really not with me right now. And we kind of waver off and get on the other side of the street, start going the back way, going back where he came from. You know, the thing is the Lord already forgave us for that. Yeah, that's called sin. And he already forgave us for that. And I think everybody sitting in this auditorium today believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive our sins. Okay, so I don't think there's any question about that. That conviction is good. And you know, when you start going down the street the wrong way, then your inner conviction, and you start trusting in the Lord, what happens? He turns around and brings you back going the right way. And you know, the last words he said on the cross is, it's finished. What's that mean? It's over. Over. Done. Kaput. And I don't speak German very well. But when it's over, what's it mean? You don't have to worry about it anymore. And what do you have when you have there? You have truth. You have truth in yourself, and you have truth in the Lord that he's done exactly what he has said he will do. And he did it. So that's just kind of summarize this kind of bit. We're not supposed to be judges of other people. You know, one of the things I read, I'll tell you what, let me go back a little bit. One of the things I read that I thought was very interesting in a footnote in my application Bible, it said that when they did burnt offerings to the idols, they would burn only a portion of the animal. They would only burn a portion of the animal, and the rest they would take out and put in the marketplace, and people would buy it and eat it. And then there were people who would not eat it because it was tarnished, because the other part had been burned as an idol. Or they were afraid to eat it because it was part of being burned an idol. And yet there were people that would judge the people who ate it. You know, if the Lord left it go, you know, what was he trying to do? He was trying to feed the people. Isn't he always trying to feed the people? Isn't he trying to feed you with goodness and righteousness and grace and blessings and mercy every day? Those are the things that we need to be aware of. Be aware of the fact that, you know, he is constantly feeding us with scripture. You know, I'm not a big scripture quoter. But you know something? There are things that come up that I don't have to be a scripture quoter. I can just hear something in my mind, and guess what? He'll come right in here. It's right here. And you're reminded of it, that this is what the Lord did for you. Don't judge people. Don't judge them for where they are. Don't judge them for their convictions. Their convictions are their convictions. God's got them right where he wants them. He's got everybody right where he wants them right now. And it's not our business to just tell them what they should or shouldn't be doing. What we need to do is just exactly what you were saying. Have the opportunities. We have opportunities to go out every day when we walk out of this building or walk out of our home or wherever we are to show the love of the Lord. Oscar said it this morning. His mom never gave him scriptures. But what his mom did, raising him, is she showed him the love of Christ every day. Every day. Does that mean that every day was perfect? No. But I tell you what, the truth came out, didn't it, Oscar? Every day. And that's the most important thing. We know the truth. And we need to trust ourselves and be truthful to ourselves in everything we're doing every day. And if we're doing that, we're going to be walking closer to the Lord every day. And the closer we walk to the Lord, the closer we come to what our final reward is. I don't have any fear anymore about what's going on or all the crazy stuff, but what I do have is trepidation. Now, it's kind of the same thing, but, you know, it goes back with convictions. You know, Lord gave us the opportunity to have choices, make choices. I don't have to put myself in a situation where something can happen. I can avoid that as much as possible. So I'm very happy where I am. But do I want more? I want more every day. I want more of the Lord every day. And we should all want more of God every day. And be truthful to ourselves. And trust what the Lord's doing us. And when we get those urges, those little things that, our little gut feelings, trust that the Lord's in control of those little gut feelings. I've been reading this book, and I never thought I'd read a Joel Osteen book, but this is a really good book. And there's a couple things in here that I want to share before I end here. One, this is in a chapter. It's called Rising Higher. And it's a little thing. It says, "Isn't it amazing that we can know the right thing to do yet still ignore it? Don't let that be you. Be obedient now so you won't have regrets later on." And then there's the other one was, "If your conscience is clear, life is good." Amen? So let's do the right thing and trust in ourselves and be truthful to ourselves every day and trust in the Lord and don't be afraid. And he might not have you, as our song says, he might not come where you want him, but he'll always be right on time. And I want him to be right on time in my life. And I know that for a fact that the truth in my life is he has been on time way many more times than I could ever imagine. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity today. Father, just let us be true to ourselves and be true to you. And Father, just keep us together as one. One. Our truth and your truth, Father. Make it one in our lives. Because, Father, I know if we do that, we're going to be walking with you and we're going to be right in the place where you want us to be. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.